This is the official Caps Chirp podcast, proudly a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere. What's going on, Caps fans? It's me, the Hockey Troll, and I'm here with that snack, Poly Cupcakes.
Hello, hello.
Folks, we've got a great episode for you. We'll talk about the week in review and some league news that has gone down. Tune in Thursday for our thoughts on Tom Wilson, which will probably go live right after this just to have it out there on the internet. But that'll be a Thursday episode. Everybody will have more than a week to kind of unwind and let the dust settle so that we can basically stir it back up again. But we do have to pay the bills, so I'm going to have to tell you about DraftKings Sportsbook, our gracious sponsors. Big names are headlining this week's UFC 262 card, from Nate Diaz to Michael Chandler. There will be no shortage of action. And DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. One fighter will be walking away with a belt. Will you be walking away with the cash? Just pick the main event fighter you think will win, and DraftKings Sportsbook will give you 100-1 odds on that fighter. That's right. Bet $1 on select fighters, and if they win, you win $100. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to test than to put your money where your mouth is with DraftKings Sportsbook. Don't worry if MMA is not for you. DraftKings Sportsbook offers great odds and promotions on basketball, hockey, and so much more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPM when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on a main card fighter to win. Place your bet and watch the fist fly this weekend. That's code THPN to turn $1 into $100 on select main card fighters for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Again, that is DraftKings Sportsbook, code THPN. Enjoy that money. Thank us later.
Thank us later. Nate Diaz. That's a big name.
Yeah. Sure. He's a little older. I'm surprised he's still fighting, so that's good. Good for him. Well, I think we should just kind of pop tabs and get into it. What about you, Polly?
Yep.
1, 2, 3.
All right, Caps fans. Well, what a week it has been. You know, we're going to get right into just some league news and playoff clinches, suspensions, injuries, things like that. And then we'll get into the Washington wraparound where we talk about the week in review and how the Caps did. Announced Sunday, Torts officially out as the Jackets coach. A mutual separation, from what I hear.
Yeah. 6 seasons. It's pretty good tenure.
Winningest coach I think the Jackets have ever had.
Yeah, they won their first ever series with him, with that sweep of the President's Trophy Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
I think he's done pretty well. Maybe going to Seattle.
Who knows? I mean, I think that obviously the way that Torts presents himself to the press is a lot different from how he is in the room. I think he's much more of a player's coach than people realize or want to give him credit for. But in the same sense, I don't know. I mean, I'm surprised he lasted 6 years with Columbus, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I think they were really patient with him because they were, like, looking at his past success. I mean, he has a cup. He's been to another cup. I mean, they probably thought, this is our guy that's going to take us. And, I mean, he made them relevant. I mean, I know they missed the playoffs this year, but
right.
They, like I said, they swept the Lightning, and then last year they put up a decent fight against the Lightning in the bubble. I think he definitely, at the very least, put them on the map.
Sure. And, I mean, there's so much to be said about Columbus and the mass exodus of good players. You know, I mean, how much of that is his fault if the players literally just say, I don't want to be in the city.
Yeah, it's got to be a tough place to get talent.
Right.
I mean,
a perfect there's no draw. It's in Ohio.
Right. I mean, the perfect example is when they made all those big deadline acquisitions and everybody left and their stars left.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a bit of a shot in the foot. Also on the coaching changes, Rick Tocchet done with the Coyotes after four seasons. I don't know a lot about this. I thought that he was kind of fitting in well. He's a Phil Kessel whisperer. I figured that he would be kind of there for a while, but I guess he's going to need to follow up more than one playoff appearance, right?
Yeah, and I don't know. I think if management is not happy with what he's done so far, I think their expectations were too high.
Sure.
Because I think Arizona is, at the very least, 5 years away from being a second-round playoff team.
Yeah, and then they had all that front office drama. Chyka's gone. They had all that. They were fined a lot, like forfeited some first-round picks for courting players too early. I mean, it was basically a shit show in the front office. So it's, as Corey and Richie say, Phoenix or Arizona, as I should say. God damn it.
Glendale.
Glendale. Can't have nice things, and this is a perfect example of why. It's like they make the playoffs, so that's a step forward, and then they lose their GM and get fined for that courting players too early. That's two steps back.
Yeah, I think there's only two good things about Arizona right now, and that is Arizona State Hockey, who right. has become relevant in D1 very quickly.
Yeah,
and Larry Fitzgerald with the Cardinals, because he's just like such a lovable football player.
Mm.
But that's about all they got.
Yeah, right, exactly. And hot weather and things that'll kill you in the desert.
Yeah.
Buffalo, Michael Hauser won two games this week for the Sabres. The 28-year-old hadn't started a professional hockey game since March 7th, 2020 with Cincinnati of the ECHL, making 24 saves and a one goal shutout against Toledo. He was in net for another win Tuesday night as Buffalo beat the Isles in a shootout. Why do you like him, Paulie?
Well, I mean, I like him before you comment on that other note. I think it's awesome that this guy got his shot and made something happen. Obviously, his third game wasn't great. The Penguins had 8 goals. I didn't watch. I don't know if they kept him the whole time or not.
Right.
But it's a good feel-good story. I mean, he's basically, I mean, maybe a little better, but he's kind of the pedigree of an E-Bug.
Right.
Like, I mean, a lot of these E-Bugs played some minor or college hockey.
Sure.
But the other note I threw in there, during his the second win, the shootout win, the new acquisition from Boston, who was in the Taylor Hall trade, and I'm not trying to say Boston or Buffalo won this trade, but Anders Bjork, the Notre Dame grad, who Andrew had said Boston kind of had really high expectations because of his first game
right.
and his success in college. He had 2 goals and a shootout goal. I think he's got like 4 or 5 goals with Buffalo. So, you know, maybe a change of scenery is something he really needed.
Absolutely. And, I mean, we see this time and time again with players just needing out, you know, needing out, fresh start, kind of reset their game a little bit. Milan Lucic has agreed to waive the no-movement clause for his contract with the Calgary Flames ahead of the 2021 expansion draft on July 21st. You know, I love Lucic. I thought he was awesome in Boston. But with the Flames, he had that one great year.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of been, he's a nobody again.
The year they traded him for Neal.
Yeah, James Neal. Yeah.
They both had really good years. That was another change of scenery.
Right.
That benefited. But yeah, I think at this point, he's kind of just like a big body and a name that you're like, well, he's probably the best available, so he'll fit. Like, he's not super valuable, but he'd be a good name for an expansion team to have.
Yeah, and quote-unquote leadership in the locker room.
Yeah, he might get the C.
Yeah, he brings that in spades. So, it's interesting. You know, who's it? England? England had that. That was their guy in Vegas.
Yeah.
Derek England. So, you know, and as as the Capitals have shown the Rangers last week, it seems like everybody needs a bit of a tough guy. And I think Lucic can still be that guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of the Rangers, they fired their president and GM on Wednesday. Chris Drury stepped in to take both roles. This is after a ridiculous statement released by the club about horrific acts of violence that Tom Wilson committed and then openly attacking George Parros, which resulted also in $250,000 fine for the team from the league. The ownership claims that they had no hand in that statement.
And so do these guys.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah, they said, so like, who put it out then?
Yeah, the plot thickens.
Yeah.
Probably somebody on Twitter.
Right. Just the social media person took it upon themselves. Yeah. And now is looking for a job.
Right. Teams who have clinched the playoffs as of right now. We've got the Discover Central with Carolina, Florida, Tampa Bay, and Nashville. So they're in. Carolina, sleeper here. They're looking good. Have looked good for the past couple of years. They're definitely on the hard up. It's interesting to see. I'm looking forward to how that division with Florida, a newcomer under Quenneville, and Tampa Bay, the incumbent Stanley Cup winner. And then, you know, Nashville's mixed in there for good luck, I guess. So Central Division's locked. Honda West also locked. Vegas, Colorado, Minnesota, St. Louis. St. Louis just limping in. They had the biggest gap between them on the bottom end. So, you know, fuck Vegas. Never want to see them win a cup. But Colorado, Minnesota, I mean, playing some really good hockey right now.
Yeah.
So
I think that's going to be a very tough first two rounds.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mass Mutual East, Pens, Caps, Boston, the Islanders. That's a lock. Penguins have won the division due to our lack of being able to get it done on a severely depleted roster on yesterday, which was, what, Saturday?
And Friday. I mean,
and Friday. We could have won either one, huh?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that sucks. But, you know, it's five division titles in a row. You can't win them all, boys, right?
Yeah.
Scotia North, Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg, and that is still up for grabs out there.
Yeah, so Montreal is sitting at 57 points, and the next is Ottawa with 49, so it's all but locked in.
Right.
It'll be kind of nice. Well, I think at this point, since Toronto secured the division title, it'll be a Montreal-Toronto first round. That'll be exciting.
Absolutely. I think that the matchups that we're going to see in this playoffs are going to be fucking awesome. They're very rare. You know, Carolina and Nashville in the first round, and then Florida, the battle of Florida, Florida and Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think that's exciting.
Right. The Pens look like they're going to get the Isles, which is not set in stone. The Caps, Boston. I mean, we'll get into that a little later. But Vegas, St. Louis, and then Colorado, Minnesota. That's an odd matchup at that. So definitely looking forward to this playoffs and how these teams are going to prepare for each other.
If the Caps end up with Boston, they could play 8 games in a row. Because it's last game of the season.
Right. Interesting. Suspensions. Tom Wilson fined $5,000 in Monday's game for roughing, and that was for the punch to Buchnevich while he was prone. as we spoke earlier, Rangers fined $250,000 for their statement. Gostisbehere suspended for 2 games for boarding when he hit Mark Friedman after scoring an empty net goal. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, I think it's the right call. The play was over. It was very clear that Ghost went out of his way to hit a guy in the back who was vulnerable because he had no idea it was coming. And then he goes into the boards in a very dangerous way. We'll get into this later, but I think this kind of thing is much more dangerous than what Tom Wilson did. But again, we'll get into that later. But yeah, it was one of those things that are very dangerous that happen regularly that no one talks about.
Yeah, I mean, this was a cheap shot. And the thing is that both players were going full speed because they were hunting down, they were chasing down that empty net puck. For sure. I mean, Friedman pops right up. He's not hurt, which is good, but that definitely didn't feel good. And
it could have been a broken neck.
Oh, yeah. I mean, going into the boards like that, full speed from behind, I mean, he could have died.
Yeah, he could have died. I mean, that one is much more likely that. That could have killed him way, like, the stats have to be in more, like, if he goes in wrong, he breaks his neck, he could die. Right. Yeah. That was so much more dangerous than anything Tom Wilson did.
Right. That's my first he could have died this podcast. I forgot that was a thing for a second.
About to have another one.
Yeah. Canucks, Zach McAroo.
Yeah, it's a tough name.
Yeah, suspended one game for kneeing Edmonton's Darnell Nurse in the fucking head.
Yeah.
He could have died.
Yeah, and then I think this is who fought Darnell Nurse. Again, they're fighting. Helmets come off. Nurse wrestles him to the ground without a helmet.
Right.
He could have hit his head. He could have died.
He could have died.
And then he's in a vulnerable position on the ground, still trying to punch him. Wait, he was punching a guy on the ground who didn't have a helmet on? He could have died.
He could have died.
He could have died.
He could have died. Pat Maroon, one game suspension for unsportsmanlike conduct. That ref could have died, for sure.
Yeah.
He could have not liked it and just decided, you know what, I'm going to drive my car off a fucking cliff because of what Pat Maroon said to me. He could have died.
And I think that came from our next note. He and Brandon Montour of the Panthers were getting into it. Yeah. So he got a $5,000 fine for spearing Maroon. So I think
Maroon could have died.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, spearing's pretty bad. But so I didn't watch the clip, but from the pictures, it looked like they got tangled up, and then something Maroon said led to his misconduct.
Gotcha. Well, and luckily nobody died.
Right. Luckily. Apparently. Montour can be seen calling Pat Maroon a fat boy, which I take that pretty personally.
Yeah. I mean, that's a mental health issue as well. Body image. He could have died. And we're still waiting on a suspension for Sidney Crosby for driving Konecki's head into the ice. He could have died there.
He could have died.
Either player, because Crosby could have died for being so fucking soft that he just had a brain aneurysm and died, or he could have killed Konecki by throwing his head into the ground multiple times.
Well, funny story about Crosby. I put on our TikTok, I made a montage of dirty plays that Sidney Crosby has committed. And TikTok took it down for its violence. I reposted it. It took it down again.
Keep reposting it.
So you going to tell me that Sidney Crosby is not a dirty player when the stuff he has done is banned by TikTok? Are you going to sit there and tell me he's not a dangerous player?
He's incredibly dangerous. He puts people's lives at risk every time he steps on the fucking ice.
Yeah. So, you know, just got to say to you folks out there, if you're coming at Tom Wilson, watch some of Crosby's plays. He's no angel, and you're completely overreacting to what Tom Wilson did.
No, you're not. He could have died. Panarin out for the season, 3 games.
I wanted to say that. They from keep a
lingering
saying,
lower body injury.
Out for the season. Right. It's 3 games. It's not like it's January in a full season.
And let's not forget Panarin's been nursing this injury. So his team's out of it, statistically eliminated. Might as well just not push it any further.
Exactly.
So, less Tom Wilson.
Well, the same thing Carter Hart's doing.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think that's less on Tom Wilson than more just like on good judgment.
Yeah.
And not putting your life at risk because he could have died.
He could have died.
All right. You want to talk to the Caps?
Well, real quick. Hey, Tank. Oh. I see your comment. Things are going well. Caps are in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's all absolutely. That matters.
No doubt. No doubt. All right. Let's get into the Washington wraparound here. All right, Caps fans. So what was the... Let's just recap. I said the Caps weren't going to win a single game this week, and you said, what? 3-0-1?
Is that what I said?
3-1. 3-1.
Yeah. Well, both wrong.
Yeah. So, first off, you know, condolences and love go out to TJ Oshie and his family and friends for a devastating loss of TJ's father, Coach Oshie, Tim Oshie, at 56 years old. It's a tough loss. I think that anybody who had watched the post game of winning the Stanley Cup for the Caps and saw TJ Oshie's moment with his dad, I mean, that's an instant tearjerker, no matter who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
You know, and I had heard that there are people on Twitter saying, like, this is karma for Tom Wilson's shitbaggery antics. And I'm like, what the fuck, man?
And I think he...
What's wrong with people?
I think his dad died before it even happened.
Yeah, like, who raised you if you say that?
Right.
Like, Jesus Christ. I'll punch your mom in the face.
She needs it.
Yeah.
Dad, too.
Right. Only a bitch could give birth to such a fucking dog if you're saying shit like that. Anyways... Not to get too fired up. That's Thursday's episode will be completely... Reminder. Thursday's episode will be completely dedicated to talking about this Tom Wilson thing. Probably just do like half an hour to 45 minutes. We'll just discuss it. Now that everybody's, you know, calm, we'll stir the pot and hopefully get some people triggered. On the 3rd, May 3rd, at Madison Square Garden, 7 p.m. game. That's a 6-3 win for the Caps. Yep. No Kuzi. No Sammy, due to disciplinary reasons. They were apparently late for a team event, and that was a team decision, not the coach. They made it very clear in all their pressers that it was a team decision. What that means, I have no idea. But it doesn't sound like that was a unilateral decision by Laviolette.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, maybe the captain's weighed in.
Right, and it turns out that it was a like a COVID thing, because they're now both on the COVID list. So that's the second time in a season, like in a fucking 30-game span that this happens. Like, wake the fuck up, boys. Ovi and Carlson returned. Ovi played one 39-second shift and left the game. Just wasn't feeling it. And Oshie did not play due to his personal loss. So, after trading Chance at the first, Nick Dowd starts the scoring on a 2-on-1, just under 6 minutes left in the first. A minute and a half later, Wilson battles on the wall and sends it over to Raffle, who deflects it with his skate into a wide-open Sheary for a backdoor goal. At the two-minute mark, Zibanejad beats Vitek Vanacek at the end of the first. It's 2-1 Caps. So, not a bad start.
No, on the not road. At all. You know, and pretty standard hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the change in the world of hockey.
Right. So what happened in the second?
Well, so Zibanejad gets his second goal of the game on the power play just 2.5 minutes into the period. And then 2 minutes later, Kako and Lafreniere turn a 2-on-1 into a Kako goal. And at 12:20, madness breaks out. As a scrum surrounds Vanacek, Tom Wilson ends up on top of Buchnevich, and which isn't abnormal in a hockey scrum.
And he does think that... I think that he thinks that Buchnevich is still trying to kick at Vanacek, so he punches him in the shoulder and tries to rip him off. Everybody sees that, and madness ensues. Everybody's jumping on Tom, right? Yeah. Including Panarin.
Yeah, so... You know, just to clear it up, Tom Wilson's stick was under him, so he did not cross-check him in the neck. Tom gives a couple little quick jabs, nothing deadly. Panarin tries to pull him off.
Wait, what do you mean nothing deadly? He could have died.
Yeah, he could have died. He
could have died? Okay.
Yeah. Also, the punches were from like 2 inches away.
He could have died, Paulie.
He could have died.
Don't argue with me on this.
Okay. Panarin tries to pull him off, instantly regrets it, as the grizzly bear slams him to the ice. Oh, like a gorilla manhandling a spider monkey. I like that.
He could have died.
Put that in there.
He could have died. Not a serious matter, very serious matter.
Tom ends up with a double minor for roughing and a 10-minute misconduct. And we go back to hockey with a minute and a half left in the second period. Hathaway buries a backhanded rebound following a few chances in front. So we go into the third, tied at 3.
Okay.
Now we're in the third.
What happened then, Polly?
So Rooney has a shorthanded chance in the first 2 minutes, but a big save by Vitek keeps the game tied. And then a few minutes later, Sprong picks up a puck in front of the net, puts the Caps up by 1.
And that was just a bad play by the Rangers.
Yeah, it was just Sprong being, what's the word? Taking advantage.
Yeah.
Taking opportunistic? Opportunistic. There it is.
God damn.
Fuck.
You could have killed me with that.
I could have. and then at 8:19 on the clock, following some good work by Raffle on the boards, Backstrom gets the feed from him to go in alone and roof the 5th goal of the game for the Caps. And then Wilson, America's sweetheart, and New York's sweetheart for sure, with a minute and a half left, picks up a puck in the neutral zone from Carlson and puts in an empty netter. 6-3, Caps win. The Rangers were officially eliminated from the playoffs. And Raffle picks up his first points as a Cap. He had 2 apples.
And could have died.
Could have died. Everyone could have died.
All right. So, big win. Multiple L's for the Rangers taken on that game. Not only did they lose the game and Panarin, they also lost their playoff contention. So, nice.
And the next day lost their front office.
Yeah. So, on the 5th, 2 days later, New York at 7 p.m. at New York again. It's a 4-2 win. No Ovi again, no Sprong, no Sammy, no Kuzi. Sammy and Kuzi were on the COVID list, and Schultz was also out. Daniel Carr gets the call up. Why was Sprong out on this one? Was
it just he was not a healthy stretch. He had something bothering him.
Okay. Maintenance day or something. So at this point, the Rangers have fired their front office. They have released their statement. Everybody's pissed. And waiting for this game, probably the most sought-after game in the whole season, if you were following current events of hockey.
And who would have guessed it would be on Wednesday Night Hockey on right. NBC Sports Network?
Right, right.
Just almost like it was planned, right? Someone paid Tom Wilson to do something.
Yeah, and you know, putting people's lives at risk, apparently, because they could have died.
And in a presser before this game, Lars Eller said, you know, he thinks what happened was pretty normal and it's being blown out of proportion because it's Tom.
Right.
Agreed.
Yeah, no doubt. A great entertaining game, though. Right off the face, a line brawl. Started with our fourth line, Hagelin, Dowd, Hathaway. All 3 forwards from each team dropped the mitts. I would say Hags is the only one that remotely lost this one.
Yeah. The Caps definitely took 2 out of 3.
Yeah. Less than a minute later, 3 seconds into his first shift, Wilson is engaged by Craig Smith, and Wilson absolutely demolishes him. I guess credit goes to Smith for staying standing, though he could have died.
Yeah, he could have died.
Smith gets an instigator penalty for that. 15:46 on the clock, off a Rangers zone draw, Raffle and Bateo drop the gloves, both lands some punches. It was a good tilly.
Yeah,
Raffle's kind of surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, I'd give the win to Raffle. So
me too.
It's 4-1 in favor of Caps and fights at this point.
Luckily, none of those players died because it could have happened. The literal next face-off, Eller goes with Strom. Eller ends up falling, but you call it a draw. I think Eller kind of won that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think as they're standing up, Eller won when they were engaged, but right. Some people would call it a loss just because Eller he took him to the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, which, right. I don't know. I think that's a bad way to measure a fight, but there's idiots out there that say that.
Right. Six fights in the first 5 minutes. What a game. Everybody's in the fucking penalty box. The benches look like they're literally a whole, full line down because they are.
It was like a beer league lunch. Beer league bench.
Yeah, right, exactly. In the second half of the period, though, the Caps killed off a 5-on-3. Wilson and Buchnevich get into it behind the play, and Buchnevich slash Wilson after a check. And you know, Willie ends up with another 10-minute misconduct, and he just didn't come back with a quote-unquote upper body injury.
I think that was Laviolette saying, we're just going to keep you out of this game.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I can tell you this. I can almost guarantee it wasn't Tom's decision.
Right. Sure. And, you know, what's... He comes back, and then it's more madness ensues. You might as well just, like, finish the game and figure it out later. I think it was a good decision. Yeah, so, fuck it. Carlson and Mantha getting a good backdoor look that didn't go, but the end of the power play, with another delayed call on the Rags, Roffle sends one through the crease, and Eller can't finish. Roffle gets ripped off on what would have been a late goal for high sticking, possibly high stick.
Yeah, I think the high stick was another part of the play. It wasn't on Roffle.
Gotcha. So, that was all in the first period, folks. Second period... Is it 0-0 at this point?
Yep.
Yeah, so we're tied up. Not a lot of hockey was being played. What happened in the second?
12 seconds in, Oshbabe puts in the first goal. He was coming down the right side, had a nice snipe, five-hole, from just inside the faceoff dot. And then Mantha and Buchnevich exchanged stick taps and slashes. You know, Mantha was... giving him pats on the legs and the butt, trying to piss him off, and it worked. And Mantha is dropping his gloves for a fight, you know, like a stand-up man.
Yeah.
And Buchnevich cross-checks him in the face.
Jumps and then just, like, yeah. Cross-checks him in the face.
Absolute coward move.
Yeah.
I mean, what...
Mantha could have died, first of all.
Yeah, he could have died.
What a fucking cowardly move by Buchnevich.
Absolutely. So he got a 5 in a game, Buch did. And Mantha got 2 for his unsportsmanlike trying to draw him into the fight.
Right.
Which was fair. He was being a rat.
Right.
At 11:34, Oshie gets his second power play goal of the game. And then 5:12 left in the period, the Caps win a faceoff back to Orlov, sends it over to Carlson, puts a nice shot on net, deflects off Dowd, 3-0 Caps. And this one I don't get. I think it was just the refs tired of all the bullshit.
Yeah.
Chara gets a 10-minute, I think, just for going over to the bench and being like, how about you boys come after me?
Yeah, right.
And they were like, no. So he got a 10-minute, and pretty terrible. But, you know, the cowards of New York, I noticed this. They stayed away from Chara and Dowd. And
Dylan, you mean?
Dylan, yeah.
Yeah, the big boys.
If their beef wasn't with Tom Wilson, they would have avoided him, too.
Yeah,
like, right. Say this play had been done by Oshie.
Sure.
They wouldn't have gone for Tom Wilson.
No, or anyone else.
Yeah. It would
have been nothing. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, so they were going for their pound of flesh, but obviously they didn't want it that bad. Oshie beats out an icing with 59.4 left. I thought this was pretty funny. So they called it wrong. So Oshie takes off his glove, picks up the puck. He gets to the blue line and tosses it so it'll go to center ice. And you can see him yelling at the ref, center ice. Like, you called that wrong. It's going to center ice. And it did.
Right.
But so that's the end of the second. Then we get into the third. The Rangers get an early goal in the first 2 minutes. So Lafreniere takes away another Vitek shutout. Strome gets a tripping minor and a 10-minute misconduct for his post-whistle activity aimed at Hathaway. And as we get towards the end of the game, Oshie gets an empty netter. Osh Babe Hattie, which was just amazing in his first game after his father's passing. It was reminiscent of Brett Favre, I think, in 2004 on Monday Night Football after his dad had died and when he just torched the Raiders.
Yeah. And then you've got Martin St. Louis after his, I think his mother passed. He basically carried the Lightning past into another, or no, not the Lightning, the Rangers into another round of the playoffs with his unbelievable performance. I mean, Caps end up winning 4-2 in what it was essentially a fucking shit show, also feel-good story for TJ Oshie.
Absolutely. You know, I love the way the boys rallied around him. At the end, you know, they were hugging. There was a nice moment with him and Backstrom on the bench. Right. You know, it's just good to see the boys out there doing what the boys should do.
Sure. All of the drama aside, I mean, one of the best feel-good stories of the entire season, I'd say.
Yeah, they went nuts on the bench when he got that hat trick.
Oh, yeah. Total, 141 penalty minutes. 56 for the Caps, 85 for the Rangers. Orlov now at 200 career points. Oshie at 21 goals in the season in his fourth career hat trick. I mean, Oshie's been on fire. I think it's like 15 goals the past 20 games. The dude's playing really good hockey, which has led a lot of people to say that he should be protected over Kuznetsov when it comes to the Seattle expansion draft. It'll be interesting to see what the Caps actually do here. But, you know, I was so pumped when Oshie came to D.C. I've always liked this guy's game. I think he's really come out of his shell in D.C. after having spending so much time with the Blues as kind of like a name brand guy, but a guy who is mostly known for his hard work ethic and his, you know, puck retrieval. Now he comes to DC and gets to show off his hands a little bit, gets older as a player, his playmaking ability. I think he's really thrived in DC, so it'd be tough to see him go. We'll just keep it at that for now. Kempney doing a conditioning stint in Hershey.
Yeah. So that's exciting news.
Yeah. But I had heard that he ran into an ice clearer.
Yeah.
And is injured again.
So I'm guessing it's one of those people who comes on during a TV timeout with a shovel.
Yeah.
And just gets the snow off
the
ice. Jesus.
Woof.
Out of all the ways.
Might as well just retire.
Yeah.
You know, like, just say, I want a cup. Like, I've had two bad injuries, like hamstring.
Achilles,
yeah, I think it was. I mean, holy smokes, just pack it in. I don't know.
Yeah. Before we move on from the Rangers, Drogs, you're right. Tom Wilson did destroy the Rangers organization. Thanks for the comment, bud.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of my fellow Caps fans here in Penguin Country.
Yeah, no doubt. So moving on to the seventh, Philly at home. A 4-2 loss. I mean, this was just a shit game. Again, no Ovi, no Kuzi, no Sammy.
Sprong was back.
Sprong was back. JC out. Or no, JC was in. No Schultz, though.
Yeah.
So, in the first 2 minutes, Fierby makes it 1-0 on a deflection. Actually, you do this part, because I didn't even watch it.
All right. Yeah. Well, like you said, first 2 minutes, Fierby makes it 1-0 Flyers on a deflection. Sprong looks like he's going to tie it up, but it was waved off for kicking.
Mm-hmm.
About 15 minutes later, Mantha anticipates a D-to-D pass, picks it up, tosses backhand. I'm pretty sure it was a no-look pass in front, right onto Sprong's stick. He goes top cheese. It was a very good hockey play.
Yeah.
I mean, he read that, picked off the pass. His pass was nice. Mantha, it was just beautiful. Shout out Mantha.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, this one counts. After they took away his first one. VTech had a big save moving side to side. Philly was about 5 seconds left in the first period. I think they were coming down in a 2-on-1. Basically sent it from faceoff dot to faceoff dot, one timer, and VTech basically had a Sammy save.
Yeah.
Kept the game 1-1, end of the first period.
Nice. In the second, you know, Allison scores short side to put Philly up one. Philly actually came to play, statistically eliminated from playoff contention. You know, they added a empty netter. I said I'd do the outline, but fuck it. This is a bad game by the Caps.
Yeah.
They lost. That's all. That's all I'm going to want to say about it, honestly. I mean, not a great effort. I think the Caps were home again and kind of feeling this whole drama weighing on them a bit, and then battling through a depleted lineup.
Well, I'm sure the Ranger game was emotionally draining. Physically, sure. Emotionally draining. Even though they had a day off, they still had to come back to town. They're missing guys. They've got guys in who aren't regulars. I think it was a tough game to get up for.
Plus Oshie's dad. Like,
yeah.
So absolutely.
Yeah, like that doesn't go away just because he had a good game.
Exactly. On the next day, Craig Anderson's in net for the Caps, who are playing Philadelphia again, 7 p.m. It's a 2-1 OT win. A good gut check there at the end of the game for the Caps. But, you know, Carlson, Backstrom was a surprise. Ovi,
yeah.
Kuzi, Sammy, all out. And there was no one to call up. So Lavi literally just...
Dressed 19.
Yeah, just dressed one short. Garrett Pilon, though, finally gets his first NHL game, and Anderson's in net, like we said. This game could have killed somebody.
Yeah.
It's just a shorthanded game. In the first, immediately, Philly takes two minors, like a minute in. It's negated also immediately by Wilson Hook. Back-to-back, you know, and even strength with no goals. So we basically went through the first 5 minutes of being down on a power play and on a PK and even, and scored nothing. In the second, Anderson's looking good, no score. You know, this is like watching two toddlers fight. You know, they're getting in good jabs, but no one's hit hard enough to piss the other one off.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of looked like at this. and then Oshie in the second takes an awkward fall on a pretty routine body check against the boards, and literally everyone is dying for real. I mean, if Oshie's out, that's the top half of our depth chart.
He gone. Leaves, right?
He's yeah, he leaves and doesn't come back.
Yeah.
In the third, no one does anything until linchpin to the Stanley Cup, Lars Eller, scores 6-on-5 in the McNuggy minute after the Caps had a power play. So the power play ends, they go 6-on-5, someone finds Lars basically just a few feet above the goal line, and he hammers it home.
I just turned on the game, yeah. I think, with like 4 minutes left. So I got to see the best part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Lars Eller's goal and then overtime.
It was like watching NBA basketball. It doesn't matter till the last minute.
Yeah.
And then in overtime, Dowd to Sheary on an odd man rush it was 2-on-2. Sheary just gets a step on his man, and Dowd just strings like a great pass through the triangle of the defender and tape to tape for Sheary, who just kind of puts it in a little kind of finesse play into the five hole for a beautiful finish. I mean, like I said, gut check game, depleted roster, love to see the boys battling back. Just what it says for the future and for the final game against Boston next week. And then the playoff picture at large is no bueno. No bueno right now. So I had said we weren't going to win a single game this week. I was wrong. We went 2-2. And Pauly said we'd go 3-1. So again, you win here. For some reason, I can't win ever on these. I would say you're the winner.
Well, if you're ever going to use our promo code on DraftKings, think like Pauly, don't think like Troll.
Yeah, whatever that means.
It means I'm better at guessing.
And that code is THPN, by the way, on the DraftKings Sportsbook. Come on, Paul, you got to get those plugs in when they make themselves available.
Didn't I start off with when you use code THPN?
No.
Oh, my bad. I was thinking it. Unfortunately, I am not telepathic.
Okay, so real quick, Pauly, mm-hmm. if the roster stays like this, what's our playoff shots?
Best case scenario, we make it to 6 games in the first round. Well, before we get into that, I just wanted to comment. I think TVR played very well this week. He deserves a shout-out. Trevor Van Riemsdyk had a very good week. I don't know what his stats were, but he was making a lot of good plays. I remember specifically he had a nice sliding play to block a pass that his brother sent to the front of the net for the Flyers. So mm-hmm. he basically took away a wide open man. TVR, I'm glad we re-signed him.
Yeah, so one thing that I'll say about that is that he was, you know, the Caps have been so incredibly deep this year, and now they're hitting this injury, fucking ambulances hanging around DC, and I never thought that we would be, you know, I figured injuries would happen as they always do, but I thought, like, oh, even if we lose Ovi or Backstrom or Oshie or Kuznetsov, like, we're going to have somebody to, you know, next man up, right?
Right.
Well, the next man up and then the next man up after that are now injured, and that's just a fucking bad look. I mean, Raffle's playing an okay at center. I love his face-off work, and I think that he's a good physical presence, but is he a Kuznetsov or a Backstrom? Absolutely not.
Right.
So, real tough there, and who knows what Kuznetsov is and Sammy are going to be like coming into the playoffs because they have COVID, apparently, or are in COVID restriction.
Yeah, they at least were exposed to it.
Right, so...
But back to your question, I think with this roster, it'd be tough to make it out of the first round, especially Boston. I think they've really turned it on.
Yeah.
They've made a bit of a run here in the last month. We need the big boys. I mean, at least, like, Carlson and Backstrom, but everybody...
Yeah. Okay, so what do you think? Do you think that maybe they're just resting these guys?
I think it's very possible that they have playable discomforts that they're saying, we're in, just chill.
Right. So imagine this. We keep the skeleton crew together for Boston next week, which is our only game, Caps fans, on the 11th, which I think we're going to lose.
Yeah, I agree.
So we're both 0-1 on next week. But what if they come out full regalia in the playoffs, like, and act like and play like nothing's happened? I mean, I'm literally just drinking the fucking Kool-Aid with that. I mean, this is not anything that I've heard or have any... It's literally a fantasy.
It's a pipe dream. Yeah.
It's a fantasy of mine that we come out on, you know, the West takes another week to figure their shit out, finish up. Everybody's got 56 in. And then we go into the playoffs and everybody's like, yeah, nobody's injured.
The boys come back and then we sweep Boston.
Yeah. Now that's fantasy mixed with like...
delusion.
With like... crack hallucinations. Like, smoking too much crack hallucinations.
Well, okay, so you made that comment about the West. I was thinking about this the other day. Yeah. Their division is wrapped up. I mean, I guess they can still play for the seeding.
Right.
But, like, at this point, just fucking call it.
No. That's not how it should be done. How are you going to have a regular season in without a play-in? Where, I mean, I get statistical elimination, but, like, come on. Seeding does matter. Seeding matters.
Okay, so two of the teams have 2 games left, and 2 of them have 3 left. I don't know who they're playing, and that makes a difference, but...
Probably each other.
Yeah, I mean...
Duh.
Okay. I guess, and I'm... Well, no, they've still got the four other teams
in the division. They all have games in hand?
The only... So Arizona and Anaheim have both finished, but San Jose and LA haven't. So they these teams probably play them. Yeah. And no one has clinched the division yet, so I guess it would be kind of shitty to give out a banner when the season hasn't ended.
But plus, it's like three games. Fucking play them.
Yeah.
It's a week. And honestly, I wish it'd be 10, so that we'd have impatient. 2 weeks off.
I want it to get started, because I want to make sure there's this, like, I know they're going to make it happen, but just, there's still uncertainty in this world, and I just want the Stanley Cup to happen, and we try to get back to a normal offseason.
Well, the Stanley Cup's going to happen. I get what you're saying. You want progress, but Stanley Cup's going to happen regardless. We did it during the height of COVID. We're going to do it again. I just am not loving the Caps right now. Their chances through no fault of their own, except for Kuznetsov and Samsonov. I mean, dude, what do you think about the whole Twitter tirade about keeping Oshie over Kuznetsov at this point?
Well, I liked it until you presented the thought, or we could trade Kuzi for assets. So, you know, if we could trade Kuzi and maybe, you know, not get someone that's Kuzi, but get two guys that add up to Kuzi, that's better than just losing him to the expansion draft.
Right. So I guess that's kind of a thing too, right? Like, so for instance, Kuzi nets two NHL players, a center and a wing. And we don't really have a lot of value for them, but they're attractive trade bait, and they're attractive expansion bait. Do we try the waiver wire for a piece that we like Oshie? Do we say, Oshie, you're going to the A?
No.
Is that even possible? Like, I don't know. I really do have a feeling the Caps are playing some sort of 3D chess here. Because I think that McClellan's very, sneaky and not sneaky, but I think he's pretty sharp. The guy is. So, you know, it's a question of who are we going to protect and how can we protect them without saying we're protecting them, right? What are the loopholes and how do you use them? I think that the Ovi thing, that's a huge loophole. There's a ton of trust in the player at that point. Say he does get picked up, goes to free agency, and then just doesn't sign with anyone, because at that point, people are throwing money at him left and right.
Right.
And he just says, nah, I'm going to go sign 5 with the Caps.
Risky move.
Very risky, but at the same time, I mean, I think that Ovi to max out, I think that that's a... He's getting his cake and eating it too. He's just going to have to play a little bit of a game.
Well, a thought just crossed my mind when it comes to Kuzi. I thought of two trades I would really like if we're going to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Ottawa for Tkachuk in a first round.
Ooh.
Or Anaheim, Zegras in a first round. Those are both young, talented guys and shitty teams that should be an early first-round pick.
And they have a plethora. I know Ottawa has a lot of picks.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think...
Or do you just dump Kuzi for picks, purely? Two first-round picks. A first and a second.
Yeah, but I like those players. I would really like Brady Tkachuk on the Caps.
Sure.
I think he'd fit in very well.
Right. But... Again, that leaves the... And we can't do this until free agency opens.
Yeah.
So it'll be after the expansion draft anyway. So X what I was saying about that. But, I mean, I don't know. It's a tough call. Like, do you waive one of these players? I don't know. Because I think that we're actually really going to have to make a decision between Osh and Kuznetsov. And... Everybody has seen how Kuznetsov can elevate his game, but since 2018, he's not been the same player. How much longer are we going to give? You know, we gave Verana, we gave Burakovsky, we gave those young players 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah.
And they never panned out.
In his 30s now, right?
I think he's about to be, yeah. I think he's a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know what's going on behind closed doors with that player either. So,
right.
But something has pissed some people off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm frustrated as a fan to see Kuznetsov again on the COVID list, again with Samsonov, our quote-unquote franchise goalie. You know, maybe that's not a great influence there.
Maybe if this keeps up, we protect Vitek.
Could be. Could be. Poof. Lots of uncertainty, folks. That's for sure. In this shit show of a team right now, and especially when we have all these injuries that we have to deal with for now, you know, this is a great time for Kuznetsov to break out of his shell while playing. So, I guess when Mork becomes available, we'll let you know. But that is the turmoil that the Washington Capitals sit in right now. We, like Arizona, can't have nice things, apparently.
Yeah. Can't even win an East Division championship.
I know. The one and only Mass Mutual East.
Yeah, it'll never happen again.
It might. I mean, I'm thinking that
it might.
It's going to be a brand name associated with the East again, and I'm sure that Mass Mutual will probably be in on that.
Yeah, it might just be different teams next year.
Right, exactly. Yep. All right, well, Caps fans, thanks for tuning in. We're going to go live here in another minute to talk about Tom Wilson, and that'll come out on Thursday. So, until Thursday, stay good. You know, rate our podcast 5 stars only.
5 stars only.
And let's go Caps. Interested to see what the hell is going to happen in the next couple weeks.
Rock the red, baby.
Absolutely. All right, stay good, Caps fans. Hockey Troll, Poly Cupcakes, signing off. Hey, Caps fans. Thanks for tuning in to the official Caps Chirp podcast, repping the greatest team in the NHL. Follow me, the Hockey Troll, at Hockey Trolling on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And follow me, Polly Cupcakes, at Cupcake Polly on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
And follow the show's handle, at Caps Chirp, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Special thanks to the Hockey Podcast Network, at Hockey Podnet on social, and thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. The Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere. Check them out, or we're not friends anymore.